Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
And welcome to the Council of Trent. I have a very special episode for you, another on-location episode. I promise I'll be back to my home studio very soon. Travel has just been crazy right now. I just got back from Israel, from the pilgrimage, and straight from that, really a few days later, traveled with my family to visit in-laws, and now we are on the road again here in a hotel in San Diego. We're house hunting. So I've really enjoyed my time in Phoenix, Arizona, but I want to relocate. Our whole family wants to relocate back to San Diego because that's where Catholic Answers is headquartered. And I want to be able to walk down the hall, chat with Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Carlo Broussard, really put our heads together, do a lot of good work, be in the studio actually with Cy Kellett. So we're out here in San Diego, we're house hunting, and California, money, prices, it's basically insane. It's pretty insane out here. So it got me thinking, why not do a show about money and how we as Catholics, how should we look at money and how can we be good stewards of money? So I thought, why not have a co-host with me on this episode, someone who's actually taught me a lot about money and being a good Catholic steward, my better half, the one and only, Miss Laura Horn. Welcome to Council of Trent.
Woo!
Is that all?
I don't know. I'm not as good as this.
No, you're super good.
Also, I was just in the car for 7 very long hours. The trip should have taken 5 hours, but we have 2 very small children.
We must have listened to Matt Maher sing Come Awake like 8,700 times.
Then we finally thought our 3-year-old was asleep, and he woke up from his slumber saying, no, come awake, come. Come awake, come.
Yeah, and it's Easter, so that works. So little Matthew loves Matt Maher's song Christ is Risen. And hey, it's better than a lot of those kids' songs, things like that out there. So, long day, and now the little kiddos are asleep. We're here in the hotel room. And I thought, yeah, let's just talk about money, budgeting. I mean, it's funny. People will say, if you care about a budget, what are you doing in California? Well, that's what I thought at first. But this is where Catholic Answers is located, so there's a very good practical reason for us to be here. So we just have to put up with the prices here and just budget accordingly. But the things here in California, I mean, this, any of you who've ever bought a home, you don't know what it's like buying a home until you try to buy a home in California. Like, for example, we're selling our home right now. And so when anyone comes in to see our home in Arizona, we leave it immaculate, pristine. We are gone 10 minutes before they get there. And what happens here?
Yeah. So today we showed up to one of the houses that's listed for above an insane amount of money, well over double for what we are listing our home for in Phoenix. And the person was there. She said we couldn't view 3 of the rooms and that she wasn't ready for us to come in. She had no idea we were coming. So it was just insane to me to view.
They don't care.
You'll sell for full asking price.
Yeah, you'll go try to buy a home in California, and the guy will just be sitting on the couch, and he'll look at you and go, "So you want it or not?" So, but let's talk.
But it's beautiful. So
yeah,
it's not 120 degrees. So
I call the extra money you have to spend here on a house the sunshine tax. But all right, so let's get down to brass tacks because we've been married now. It's coming up on 5 years.
I know.
2 children. And we've learned a lot about how to budget and how to use money, I think, to glorify God and to be good stewards with it, because it's hard. Money is something that a lot of couples fight about. I mean, we know, right?
Like, I think it's the number one reason for a divorce, actually. The number one given reason for divorce is money. Yeah. And what I really appreciate about budgeting is it gives you a way to serve your spouse through money. So you honor your spouse and you honor your family through a written plan that you commit to. It gives you a way to prove your integrity to your family through money. So self-control and temperance and a way to serve one another through your commitment.
So what we want to do is we're going to share with you all 4 tips for being good stewards and how to take control of money and not let money take control of you, to use it to glorify God and to be Catholics who go out and change the world. So that was really, when you and I sat down, I think of four tips for controlling money. Number one's just got to be budgeting. If you don't have a budget, your financial life is going to go down the drain without a budget.
Yes, actually. And we actually started with just reading Dave Ramsey's book, The Total Money Makeover. And that was really the foundation. We don't agree with everything he says, but, you know, he's obviously helped. I don't even know how many people get on track. And that's his number one thing, budget. You tell your money where to go instead of, you know, just wondering at the end of the month, where did our money go? And time again, sometimes we don't budget, and every single time we ask ourselves, where did our money go? And so every time we budget, it's like we give ourselves a little raise, you know.
I think when we looked at the food budget, we realized like, you know, me, I might go eat out and I think, you know, oh, just eating out one meal, it's not going to kill us. But then it starts to add up, and it's really both of us too. And then it's these little decisions like, oh, I want to treat myself, or, oh, I want this, or, oh, I want that. You know, I want this coffee. I want that. You know, I want to buy this video game, or I want to get this new movie on Amazon. Each little thing isn't going to impact you, but the total, when it all stacks up together, suddenly at the end of the month, you know, you're zero, or you're running a deficit.
Yeah, mine was prepackaged salads. I had no idea I was spending that much on prepackaged salads.
You're the one.
Not even good.
You told me, like, Trent, I can't keep making these fancy meals for you. And then every time you have a prepackaged salad, it's like $5 down the drain.
No. So now I just don't eat salads. So.
Well, no, you do. We just buy
I'm
the.
I'm just kidding. I just buy romaine lettuce.
Is there really a way to make a salad that designer and amazing?
Yes, ranch.
I think you and I should go into business, and we should start a restaurant called the fun salad, or, you know, it's a restaurant that serves all the stuff in salad you like, but specifically doesn't have lettuce.
Yes, everything but lettuce.
So it's just bowls of like ranch, cheese, and croutons.
I went to your restaurant and I gained 5 pounds. I would like my $12.95 back.
Right. Well, you didn't budget. That's your fault. So budgeting, and keep this in mind when you budget, sit down or look at your old bank statements, your old debit card statements, whatever you can. And just start tracking, what am I spending on? And then divide your budget into two categories, fixed and variable. So there's some stuff that's always going to be the same. And that's what you and I do. We know the rent always is going to be the same. We know insurance, cell phone bill, it's always going to be the same. So like at the beginning of the month, we basically, you black that out into one area and then just take out a certain amount of money for the variable stuff. Like groceries, gas, that kind of stuff can vary. Take that out and put it into different envelopes if you have to. Just divide it up, and then when you hit the bottom of something, you're at the bottom. Maybe at the end of the month you can borrow from something else, but that's what you do with the variable. Is that kind of what you do, or?
Yeah, I use the Every Dollar app. So it's free. It's actually Dave Ramsey's app, and it will track everything for you. The funny part about money is it doesn't really lie. When you are out, you are out. So this is kind of nice because it's, you know, every dollar. So it's a zero sum budget. So what comes in also goes out. So at the end, it should equal zero. And that number doesn't lie. You know, you either underspend or you overspend. So that's pretty much what I do. So that has really helped me, you know, track everything. And as you go throughout the month, then you're able to say, you know, oh, today I spent such and such on groceries. So you just type it in under groceries category and it tells you what you have left. And that's been really helpful and really eye-opening as to what I'm, you know, under or overspending on. So that's been very helpful.
Because I think some people just go to the store and you just swipe your debit card and you're like, oh, you know, there's money in there somewhere.
Yeah, that's me sometimes. It's almost like, you know, I'm a really bad driver. Matthew, my 3-year-old, always asks me, Mom, why you drive bad all day? You're such a bad driver. Daddy, no bad driver. And so, you know, sometimes when I change lanes, I literally try not even to look. And that's kind of how I am at the grocery store sometimes. I literally try not even to look when I swipe that debit card. And that's kind of how it is. I'm a bad driver, and sometimes I swipe it, and both are
this
bad
is gonna
decisions.
Come back. This is going to come back to bite us if we have an accident and the other guy's lawyer hears this.
Right.
Right, so that's why I think sometimes people are afraid to budget, because like if I look at my money, I'll realize the bad situation I'm in. So it's a weird logic. Like if I just don't see it, I can't see how bad I am. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but the problem is still there even if you don't look at it. You'll only solve the problem if you look at it. So, you know, when you're out, we could talk about this for hours. Don't use credit cards or credit for these basic expenses, or really any expenses if you can help it, because, you know, you're still spending other people's money you have to pay back with interest. So tip number one is budgeting. Tip number two is saving for the future. I think one of the biggest times people have money problems is, you know, you get your money in the check every 2 weeks, you know, payday, and suddenly you want to spend it all right now on something great, and there's no thought about loving, and you told me about this once, about loving your future self. You spend it all on your present self, and you just kind of kick future self in the pants because you didn't leave anything, like retirement, or even an emergency fund in case something happens to your future self.
Yeah, I read a book called by Chris Bailey called The Productivity Project, and he was saying people were shown pictures of what they would look like in the future and then asked to save for retirement. And the people that were shown those pictures...
Why don't we could take a, we'll take a quick break and see, because we got...
That is our screaming one-year-old for those who cannot hear.
Let's see, can they pick him up? Let's see. Oh, yeah. So he's like, love my present self. All right, we'll be right back. Hold on. Okay, we're back. Crisis averted. Baby is down. It's important, though, especially if you are discerning the vocation of marriage, you want to have children. Maybe you'd like God to bless you with lots of children. Saving for the future, for their future, is helpful. And I think you really helped me, because I was not very future-oriented at the beginning of our marriage. I just thought, like, the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket anyways. Why do I need to save for retirement? But the future is going to be here one way or another. And so if you don't pay yourself first, like, you're going to get there in the future, and you're not going to have any way to help yourself, help your kids. I mean, your grandparents even set up a college trust, your grandparents or great-grandparents, that is still helping your family.
Correct. Yeah. My great-grandparents set up a trust that they just wanted education to continue in their family. And I'm just so grateful that, you know, they didn't squander that money. It's just a small amount, but they made it available to just make sure that they had educated people in their family. And yeah, it was just so helpful. And I'm just so grateful for that. But I was saying about, you know, Chris Bailey, to go back to this future self.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So people that were shown those pictures of themselves in the future and then asked to, you know, how much would you save for retirement? I think they doubled the amount that they would have saved. So if you get to know your quote unquote future self, you're more likely to care for that person. You know, when we think of our future self, we almost think of it, you know, a stranger. But when we get to the future, we're always so, you know, disappointed with how our past self cared for our future self. And I do this all the time. You know, why didn't I unload the dishwasher last night? Or why didn't I, you know, fill up my Keurig so that way I didn't have to do it this morning? Or just these little tiny things. Or why did I make these plans that I knew I would regret? You know, that's one that I do often, because I'm not, you know, caring for myself in the future. And it sounds, you know, a little bit dumb, but I've really tried to just think of this, you know, how will I react to this in a few days? And so so saving for retirement is one of those big ones. I've watched time and time again, family members or, you know, people that are close to me, they have people that they're caring for who didn't save financially, and it is really hard. They wouldn't go so far as to call it a burden because they're good people, but I can tell that it's burdensome for sure. And so if you definitely have the opportunity to make that a priority, I'd say it's an obligation, especially if you have children.
So I guess here the lesson to love your future self is put away money, even just a little bit. I don't care how little it is. Put it away. Do everything you can to save money and everything you can to not borrow it and to go into debt. because that's a great way to hate your future self. I mean, you go out to eat and you put a credit card down to pay for the meal and it feels like free money. Well, then your future self will get all bent out of shape. You have to pay that back, often with interest. So look out for your future self. So budget, save for the future, love your future self. And we mentioned these two things because they really support our third point, which is probably the most important one. And that's to be generous with money. Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God's. But really, everything is God's. So one way or another, how we spend money, how we give money, how we invest it, save it, it goes back to God, and we should honor him and do that. And so we use money, to help the needy, help family, to support the church. The fifth precept of the church in the catechism, talks about the very minimum standards of morality for Catholics. And one of those is to support the needs of the church. You know, that air conditioning and lights and things like that in the church, they're not free. So if we want to have a place to worship, we have to support the church. But if we budget and we save for the future, that gives us control over our money so we can use it for good. And that's what I've felt we've really been blessed in our marriage, that once we got control over money, then it became so much easier to say, let's give it to this charity. Let's give it to this pregnancy center. Let's give it to this church. And you're not afraid to do that because you're not worried there's not going to be any money. You have control over it now.
Honestly, I'm a natural hoarder. So when it comes to money and food, weirdly enough, but I'm always worried that there won't be enough money. So this is really something that I had to struggle with. If this is a command to give generously, then, or as generously as you're able to give, am I willing to risk my salvation over something that I can't die with? You know, and I think that that's a good thing for Christians to really reflect on and consider, you know?
Well, that's why Jesus says in the Gospels, do not store treasures up on earth that rot, rust, or thieves can break in and steal them. Store up treasure in heaven. That doesn't mean that you have to be poor. I think it's hard. Some people think there's two extremes. So there's the Joel Osteen prosperity gospel. God wants me to be rich. God wants me to be happy. Maybe, maybe not. But then the other extreme is to think like, well, God wants me to be poor, to not have any money. You know, being rich is bad. Well, no. If you're rich at the expense of others and you exploit people, that's bad. The rich people in the time of Jesus, almost universally, they became rich by exploiting other people. But there were good rich people. If you look in Scripture, Abraham had, many flocks and he had many possessions. Job, at the end of his life, was blessed. He had wealth at the beginning of the book of Job and was blessed with wealth by the end. The reason Jesus had a tomb to be buried in was because a rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a good disciple of Jesus, provided him one. So it's not a sin to be wealthy or rich. It's a sin to exploit others or to hoard our money and refuse to help the poor. And so that's why, and I love what we've done, and I'd encourage everyone else to do, get on a budget, save for the future, get control of money so that you can acquire a fair amount of it to give it to people. And it's just amazing to have that ability to help others.
Yeah, I just want to clarify, though, it's definitely something that we are growing in. It's required a change of heart dramatically for me, I think. So I can't judge Trent's heart, although I love to. But I can say where I'm coming from.
That's a spousal privilege. That's fine. Oh, yeah, I'd add that, too. We are not experts. I'm just sharing, what Laura and I have learned in 5 years of marriage. It's really changed our outlook on marriage and money. And we hope it will help you, too, because getting control of money and to be a good steward, just to be able to bless other people and be generous with them. And looking at how to give to God, I guess here's one way I look at it. People will say, well, how much do I give? How much am I supposed to tithe? Tithing is an Old Testament requirement. You would give 10% to God. The Old Testament tithe, Christians are not under that Old Testament law. There's no percentage. So the question is just, what can you give? How can you help? So I would just say, look, if you're not sure, start at 1%. 1%, or just the one small thing to give up, like a cup of coffee every other day or every 2 days, give that up. And then just start with something small you know you can do, like 1%. And then suddenly you'll realize, oh, I can go past that. Did you read that in Productivity Project or somewhere else? Start with something, a ridiculously small goal, and you'll go past it.
Oh, that was in the book Mini Habits. Ugh, I have all these stupid self-help books.
if you can make extra money by writing self-help, because everybody needs to help themselves, us included.
I would not recommend that book, but he did say to start with something ridiculously small just to get it under your belt.
Yeah, so that's one right there, whether it's saving or giving to church, giving to a charity. I like, for example, buying malaria nets for, you know, it costs like $3. And they're mosquito nets that help people in the developing world not get malaria. It costs like $3 for a net, and it saves somebody's life. So, I mean, it start with just something little. And then once you reach that goal, like, yeah, I could do more than that. And you can move from there and grow in those areas. So our fourth tip is very simple because we're running near the end of the show here. And I think it's important. So we should use our money, spend it, save it, invest it, give it, and have fun with it, always with God in mind, I think. How does God want me to spend this to use this to glorify Him and help others? Not with other people in mind, like how can I impress so-and-so? Or, oh, they've got this, I've got to get that too. Because I'm really glad that, you know, I mean, we're always tempted by things, but we haven't felt that bug as much as I know other people really want to keep up with the Joneses. And that, if you do that, you're never going to keep up with them. You're never going to have enough stuff to be happy. I don't know what you think.
Absolutely. Yeah. Almost to the opposite extreme where I have trouble. Like I said, I love to hoard money. So, where I won't spend money. So, I mean, currently I think I'm wearing a shirt from the seventh grade and I'm not the same size as I was in the seventh grade.
Well, let's see. I think it's a Smash Mouth t-shirt? Maybe that could be from the seventh grade.
Hey now, I'm an all-star.
Where the only place those guys are all-stars is at some county fair probably. What happened to them?
How dare you?
Sorry, we'll get back on track here. Yeah, don't worry about chasing stuff. Stuff isn't going to make you happy. Only God is going to make us happy. And God wants us to use money wisely to be able to love others and love ourselves so that we're not slaves to money. It's a slave to us and we use it to do good. And yeah. So, you know, we hope that these tips are helpful for you and maybe be another subjects that we can talk about in a future podcast. I liked having you on this podcast. I liked having you around, Mrs. Horn. So we have to.
Yeah, I haven't seen you in a while. It's nice to spend time with you.
So
you've been in Israel.
That's right. I guess you guys got this. Is now that the kids are in bed, I guess you guys got to listen to like an unofficial date for us. Like, what does a Catholic apologist do on a date? Well, he takes his wife out and they record a podcast.
Yeah,
is that
lame? Budget for a real date? So this is lame.
It's a romantic evening here underneath the glow of my Tascam audio recorder.
Right. I would just like to say, though, as far as keeping up with the Joneses, I've learned it's just never enough. It just never ends. So mine isn't necessarily with physical things like clothes or things like that, but it might be with other things, you know, like how many friends do they have? How many, you know, events do they get invited to? It's just never enough. So to just rest in contentment and God's love for us and just cling to, you know, the vocation of loneliness or poverty that He might be calling us to and just embrace that, I think, for all of us will bring true freedom. So,
yeah. So let's trust in God. My favorite scripture verse, I think, would be a good way to close this out. That's Sirach 2:4-6. Accept whatever befalls you in crushing misfortune. Be patient, for in fire gold is tested, and worthy men are put in the crucible of humiliation. Trust in God, make straight your ways, and hope in Him. So I hope that you all will trust in God, trust your finances to Him, and use that to bless others and always follow the Lord's will. So thank you guys so much for being with us, and hope to catch you on another episode of the Council of Trent. God bless.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.